In the name of Jesus, amen. I've got a confession to make. It's not a particularly juicy confession, so you don't have to make notes or anything. But I don't watch a lot of TV. I don't watch network TV, you know, the big three. I don't watch CNN much. The Knitting Channel. Anyway, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I can remember when I did, back when there was no CNN, and it was just ABC, CBS, NBC, and something major would happen, and Dan Rather or Walter Cronkite or any of the other famous newscasters of years past would suddenly appear on the screen, and there would be the announcement, "We interrupt this program with a special bulletin from CBS News." Maybe some of you were home when President Kennedy was assassinated and saw that. I can remember seeing it other times. But the idea is that the event that has happened is of such great importance that the ordinary programming for the day was broken into. It was set aside because it was considered important that you know this particular piece of news. And that's kind of the way it is with today's gospel reading. Ever since Adam and Eve's fall into sin, the world had gone on its dreary, sinful way. There were murders, typified by Cain's murder of his brother Abel. There were wars. There were famines and plagues. There were adulteries. There were sins of every kind, and they accumulated to such a great degree that the Lord repented of ever having made mankind, and he sent a flood upon the earth, but he chose the one man, Noah, who found favor in his sight, to carry on the human race. And thus it continued. God chose Abraham. God made for himself a people from the descendants of Abraham. They were in bondage in Egypt. God brought them out of Egypt. God revealed to them his law at Sinai's height. They did not keep the law. They complained against God. They did not like the things he provided for them. God judged them. And finally, it got to the point where their rebellion was so great that they were condemned to wander for 40 years in the wilderness before moving into Canaan, the land God had promised them. And that first generation of those who had been brought out of Egypt all died in the wilderness because of their unfaithfulness. The unfaithfulness of God's people continued throughout the Old Testament. You know, one dreary chapter after another, one sordid chain of sin and scandal and rebellion. God's people were exiled, taken to Babylon. And the story seemed like it would go on forever. God had promised his people a redeemer, a savior, a Messiah. He promised this as soon as Adam and Eve fell into sin, that the seed of the woman would come and crush the serpent's head. He promised it in the prophets before Israel was taken off to exile in Babylon, that behold, a virgin would conceive and bear a son and would call his name Emmanuel. But the program went on and on and on, And the people cried out for a redeemer. The faithful called upon God in prayer. But it only seemed to get worse as the Romans occupied the nation. And then suddenly, unexpectedly, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee, a despised little hamlet named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. We don't know what Mary was doing. Maybe she was doing some sewing. Maybe she was making bread. Maybe she was sitting around meditating upon the scriptures. But suddenly, the angel Gabriel appeared to her, and the program was interrupted for this special bulletin. Greetings, O favored one. Greetings, you who have found favor with God. The Lord is with you. Mary was probably no more than 13 or 14 at the time. And she was troubled at this saying addressed to her by an angel. And she tried to discern, to determine what sort of greeting this might be. Why would an angel of the Lord appear to me? Why would he announce to me that I am favored and that he is with me? Who am I? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, we know what happens, we know what comes next, but I want to say to you, this is the message of the gospel. This is God's message to each one of you baptized into Christ Jesus. Each one of you who have faith that Jesus, the Son would Mary would bear, is the Savior of the world. This is the message to us sinners. Do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. God has looked upon you with grace and kindness. And do you know why he does that? It's not because you deserve it. It's not because I deserve it. It's because of the Son that Mary would bear. In our opening hymn, we sang, "For you are the Father's Son, who in flesh the victory won." Jesus, true God and true man, won the victory over sin and death and hell. And to do so, he had to be a true human being. How else could he have gone to the cross to suffer and die? How else could he have shed his holy cleansing blood? How else could he have been the willing sacrifice on that cross for the sin of the whole world if he had not taken upon himself our flesh and our blood? And how else could he give to you his body and blood for the forgiveness of sins in the sacrament of the altar? When God interrupts this program, he interrupts it big time with the most earth-shaking news of all. And it is precisely because the Son of God took upon himself flesh in Mary's womb that I can say to you, you have found favor with God. Your sins are forgiven. God has taken them away for the sake of the Son who was born to Mary, who would grow up to die on the cross and to be raised again and to sit at God's right hand as King of kings and Lord of lords. Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid, Christian. You have found favor with God. Gabriel continued with his late-breaking bulletin. Behold, you will conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, which means the Lord saves his people. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High God, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And his kingdom is an eternal kingdom. This is his kingdom of grace right here at Mount Olive, and in all churches in all the world where the gospel is proclaimed. Your loved ones who have died in the Lord, St. Thomas, whom we remembered this day, is with the Lord in the kingdom of glory, an eternal kingdom, a kingdom that shall never end. This is part of that late-breaking bulletin that God announced to Mary. Mary said, well, how will this be, since I know not a man, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High God will overshadow you, just as God's glory and power overshadowed the tabernacle when it was dedicated, the temple when it was dedicated. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, just as God is holy, the Son of God. And by the way, Elizabeth, your kinswoman, has conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing. The God who created the heavens and earth by the power of his word, by the power of his spirit, overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and she conceived in her womb without a man's involvement at all. Nothing shall be impossible with God, that God should become man, one of us, yet be without sin. Nothing shall be impossible with God, that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, God in the flesh, should go to a cross and die there the death of a criminal and yet be raised again on the third day. Nothing shall be impossible with God, that God should reach out to us here in this tiny little town of Newton, North Carolina, with his gospel of forgiveness for you, the announcement, the proclamation that he has taken away all of your sins for Jesus' sake, and you are free in Christ. Nothing shall be impossible with God, that in the bread and wine of the sacrament, you eat and drink Jesus' body and blood given and shed for you, for your redemption, for the forgiveness of all of your sins, as the bread of immortality, the medicine of life eternal. Nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary heard these words, and in her womb new life stirred. And she said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Mary is an example of the church, the faithful church, the bridegroom of Christ. All faithful Christians say, let it be to me according to your word. All faithful Christians are servants of the Lord. And when you say amen at various points in the service, you're saying what Mary said, let it be to me according to your word. I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let it be unto me according to your word. Take, eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. Amen. Let it be unto me according to your word. Take, drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Let it be to me according to your word. And going back to where your program was interrupted by God's invasion of your life for the very first time, your baptism in the name of the Triune God. Lewis, Linda, Audra, George, Annie Lee, the pastor said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the amen that was spoken in your stead was, let it be to me according to your word. That's what we say every time we gather for worship, because God's word to us is a word of grace and mercy and forgiveness of life. That's why we come to the divine service. That's why we walk through the seasons of the church year. Because the ultimate let it be to me according to your word is when God raises us up from the grave and our lifeless bodies are made immortal bodies. When all things are made new, when death is swallowed up in victory, the victory of Jesus won for you. So in this Christmas season, and in all seasons of the church year hereafter, let your amen be Mary's amen. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.